Welcome, dear hearts. Come on in and enjoy a brief moment with me, Natasha, the owner and CEO of the Magical Blessings Healing Center. Thank you so very much for taking a brief moment out of your very busy day to go on an incredible journey, releasing and unblocking anything that may be stopping you from hearing the incredible harmonies of your heart's wisdom. The motto here is all things are magically possible. And we're going to open up to all the endless magical possibilities of creative play through journaling, writing, meditating, fun tidbits, stories, and so, so much more. So let's get ready. Grab your favorite beverage, snuggle down and get comfy, and let's take that magical journey of possibilities. Today I'm going to be sharing fun tidbits, stories, symbolisms, and all kinds of other fun details. So I was sitting in the shadow on a beautiful spring day as of recent, looking, there's no clouds in the sky, it's absolutely gorgeous, and beautiful sun shining down, radiating on me, and I'm sitting next to this beautiful holly tree, and it's just a slight breeze, and it's about 70 degrees. It's just delicious in so many different ways and just stupendous. So I'm sitting in the shadow of this holly tree. Yes, I'm very well aware of the fact that hollies are normally in the form of a bush. But the originator who planted this tree decided to put it in the form of a Christmas tree. Absolutely beautiful. And the symbolism behind a holly is this. A holly has a very protective quality to it. If you ever brush up against a holly leaf or step on a holly leaf, ow, it prickles, it gets ya. The old ancient Celtic druids used to plant holly trees or bushes around their homes for protection from lightning. And if you look at a holly leaf, it does actually resemble the symbolization of a lightning bolt. It's pretty cool. So here I have this incredible holly tree, and even where it's located, there is this catawonk of an intersection. The streets don't meet up. And so I know from past experiences, and thankful for this holly tree being in its location, that it has protected this property. And so I'm so very thankful for the original planter of this tree and how they presented it. Definitely keeps traffic out of my yard and off the property. It's pretty spectacular that it does this protective quality. And I've, you know, yet to see any lightning, thank goodness. It's also a beautiful symbolism towards an evergreen. In the stark, dark winter months, this beautiful holly tree illuminates and shines with the winter sun. And that in itself is beautiful. So it's just incredible. And, you know, depending on which symbolism that you want to look at, oh, it's in the shape of a Christmas tree, then, you know, the Holy Trinity of the Christian belief system. Or if you want to look at it from the Egyptian belief system, the triangle representing the male and the bottom is representing the female. Either way, it's just a beautiful representation of protection, essentially. And it also came into my life a lot more understanding of what this holly tree really stood for, pun intended, and its representation. You see, I was going through a really, really rough, intense, divinely appointed assignment. It was like one side of another. The last about 8 years, it's about what I've been faced with. And this particular story takes place about 8 years ago, approximately 7 to 8 years ago. So 7 to 8 years ago, I knew that I needed to trim this holly tree, and it was tall then. It was 2.5 stories tall at that point, and I didn't have a ladder that was going to go up there. And the dramatic moment is me festering this ladder out there, dragging it out there, and trying to get up there. My older son, furious with me, "Mom, get off that ladder. You know you can't be on ladders." You see, once upon a time, I had a horrible bone tumor, and I had to have my bones replaced, and majority of my legs and my hip. And the ologists have all decided that it's not a good idea for me to ever be on something like a ladder, because if I fall, I will undo and have to everything that's been done, and have to start all over again. And I'm happily in remission, so I really don't want to do that. Man, this holly tree, she was calling to me. She's a feminine holly tree. She bears the flowers, not the fruit, because she doesn't have any male pollinators. So she just has these beautiful flowers from in the summertime. It's really, really beautiful. And I'm trying to trim this tree. My son has caused a bit of a ruckus. He's usually a very quiet young man, but not this day. He was fed up with the fact I was making this decision. And that brought the beautiful, beautiful ladies of the neighborhood out. It was incredible. And it's not to be disrespectful, because it's meant to be very respectful, the next part of statement that I'm going to make. And that is, it brought the crones of the neighborhood out. You see, in this neighborhood, the ladies, the elders of the neighborhood, had a system of how the neighborhood was handled. And they handled it in a very beautiful, delicate dance. And this day, they all arrived. And they said, get off the ladder. They knew I was not supposed to be on this ladder. And I just looked at them, but get off the ladder. You need to get down. And so these crones, in an archetype type of a symbolization, or elders or grandmotherly type of ladies, they were in their 70s and their 80s. And since then, many of them have passed on. Only two of them are still in the living present sense. And so it makes this story even that much more special. You see, these ladies came out. They knew the original owner and creator and planter of this holly tree. They knew why she planted it, where she planted it. And they also knew that she needs tender love and care, and me being up on the ladder was not a good idea. So this particular day, these ladies all met with me and they said, one Saturday from now, we will all come together and we're going to help you. And I'm looking at them, I'm half your age. Well, even more than that. I'm even, you know, more less than half of their age. I'm the spry one. No, dear, was their response. Please listen. And you know, it's true. In modern society, the youth have stopped listening to the elders. They think they know so much more with the media and the social media and the way they present people. I mean, for so long, we look at these women as these little stick figures, and youth, youth, youth. But we don't celebrate the beauty and the wisdom. See, once upon a time, in very ancient clan nation, when the human vessel, when the light beam placated human vessels, or what we call the human body as of now, well, the social structure was much different, and people were very respectful of their elders. I always have been. I was taught that at a Southern grandmama, and you know that when you have a Southern grandmama, you respect your Southern grandma. I've been taught this, so I do listen. And here's also for others, is the youth has a lot to say, but not to overshadow the knowledge of an elder. And I knew that day when these ladies came to say what they were saying, there was so much more of an exchange that was going to occur and happen. So I begrudgingly put the ladder away. Well, actually, my son did. He was so happy. I think he hopped and skipped and danced as he put the ladder away. Score one for him. Mom zero, one up. and it's not in a competitive manner. It's just, he was very tickled with himself that day because he knows that I was putting myself at a huge risk. It wasn't worth it in his eyes. He's very logical based. He has both of my boys are on the autism spectrum, so they're very logical. And that was very illogical, Mother. Score one for them that day. A week later, we come and we meet. It's a beautiful day. It's a spring day. Maybe a springish, summerish day. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. The sun is shining. It's beaming on us, but not to the point where we're uncomfortable. They have all of their equipment. And I look at what they bring. They bring the tools of the trade, but not one of them has a modern tool, per se. Their shears are the old-fashioned handheld shears. Now, I had my own, and they were my great-grandpa's, and I so lovingly care and take care of these. When they also showed up with this, I smiled, and I'm like, how are we going to get the top? And they're like, do not worry about that right now. Because I always try to work from the top down when I clean or trim. But that day, they taught me so much more. And it wasn't just the trimming of this holly tree. There was verbal exchanges, but there was so much more not being verbally exchanged. It was the non-verbal communication that these beautiful ladies were teaching me. The human form was first created. Our brains were larger, much larger, and sadly enough to say, more intellectual. We used more capacity of our brains than we do nowadays. That's not to say that we are not less intelligent. In some retrospects, we've tapped into new things. But as a whole, the human brain had less ego, a much more less egoic state. And that egoic state of being has what actually has decreased the intellectual wave factors. And that's where this whole modernism comes from. We also need to reflect back on the ancient language and social structure. Yes, the elders were revered much more. And there was this nonverbal exchange that would happen. What I mean by that is taking and looking to the animal kingdom. I'm going to reference a crow or a blue jay. They're both very communicative animals. I know mine in my neighborhood are extremely communicative, but if you've ever sat back and listened, each click, clack, and caw, or baw, like a blue jay is, the others understand it. And it's not like it's this excessive form of communication. Yes, I'm, you know, communicating with a podcast. I know the irony of it all for those of you who are like, irony! Exactly, right? When we look at the complex social structure of a crow, of a blue jay, of all kinds of animals in the animal kingdom, the human being used to be the same way. They didn't have the verbal forms that we have of today. A way to reflect and look back at that is, I have two boys on the autistic spectrum. They have definitely taught me a lot about verbal and nonverbal communication. At one point in time, both of my boys have been very nonverbal. They had to learn to be verbal to be able to communicate in society. Yet, there are times when they reflect back to their nonverbal communication and tune into a whole different part of their brain. Being able to figure that part out. And I am so excited to have been special enough to be chosen not once but twice to be a mother of two incredible autism young men. Because they're not boys anymore. Well, they'll always be boys, but they're really young men now. However, the autism individual understands that complex social structure of the nonverbal communication. And these ladies also understood that complex structure of the nonverbal communication. Were we laughing that day? Oh my goodness, you should have seen how sweaty and dirty and holly leaves stuck to every part of us. I mean, one of us, oh, me, that would be me, because I'm that person, you know, that has stuff always stuck to her. I had holly leaves in my hair, you know, scratches on my face, on my arms, you know, yes, I, you know, stuck to my clothes. We were all sweating. At one point, I'm laughing because it was the ladies of the neighborhood who came to help me out. These beautiful ladies who understood what it meant to be part of a clan. And a clan member needed help because our neighborhood was really established to be like a clan. Yes, we all might live in our own little dwellings called a home. The ladies knew something much deeper, much more knowledgeable. I'm not going to use the word tribe because that's something a little different, way different. I'm going to use the terminology of clan. These ladies were teaching me in a non-verbal communication the real true meaning of the ancient ways of a clan. They were teaching me the non-verbal communication of when people come together or women come together and the respect between an elder and a warrioress, because I'm not a maiden at this point in time. I'm more of the warrioress. I'm working warrioress up into the queen war, you know, archetype, if we want to look at it in that capacity. But knowing that they were teaching me so, so much. At one point, I even chuckled, because these ladies are in their 70s and 80s. When I have a 70-year-old up at the top of the ladder, they brought their own ladders. It was incredible what they did this day. I will say that that particular corner of the street was definitely, we usually have high traffic, and that day there was almost no traffic. And that particular corner was so divinely protected. I'm sure we had a network of angels. Not I'm sure, I can see and view the angels. I could see and view the network of angels. It was like if someone was to fall, oh no, they weren't. They were being held in place. And these ladies knew that too. They very much knew that. They knew they'd be okay. And I felt silly being the youngest one of the group standing at the bottom. But they'd say, honey, you know you can't do it. I fall and break my hip, I'm going to be just fine. You fall and break your hip, your leg. Dear girl, we know where you've been. How long did it take for you to recover? Point taken. I'm listening. Thank you, dear divine. One of these ladies, I mean, they're just laughing and giggling. And one of the ladies at one point, you know, just hollers down to me, hey, go get that husband of mine. And I said, okay, sure, what's up? Tell him we need lemonade. So I go off as the messenger. I'm now the messenger? Okay, fine. So I go off and I ask for one of the husbands. Could we please have lemonade? And he smiled and he said, you know, I know she's up on that ladder. I've been watching what's going on. I'm not too happy with you right now. You know, that wasn't my decision. That wasn't my decision at all. If you heard, I was trying to be the one up on the ladder. I lost that will. And he smiled. He goes, I bet you did. I'll be right out there with lemonade. It was interesting how the men of the neighborhood were not allowed to participate. It was the ladies. It was the elders. It was the crones. And this beautiful, peaceful harmony that he bestowed to myself, to this neighborhood. And, you know, at one point, we even had a little bit of gang activity in this neighborhood. And I had said to everybody, you know, because I have a gang background for the work that I do with at-risk youth. And, you know, if gang members show up, the last thing they want you to do is to be visible and be seen. And so that day, those ladies, they were making sure everybody saw us. And I have to say that the gang drawings did diminish after that day. It was beautiful what these ladies were sending vibrantly into the air. We are protecting her. We are protecting this neighborhood. We are protecting this tree. We are so belovingly coming together in the most beautiful of manners, and we are here. Hear us roar. And those ladies roared with laughter. I don't think I've ever laughed so much and so hard. I think you got a little sniffle underneath your nose. I mean, it was the most beautiful moment. It really, really was. And now I'm sharing this beautiful moment with you, because so often these are those moments that we hold in our heart, but sometimes we forget to unleash, and we need to let them out and share them with everybody. And that is what this is all about, is the beautiful sharing. They shared their wisdom with me, and I want to be able to spread and share this joy and love and wisdom with you. And that is make sure your clan are individuals that are very mindful of you, and make sure that there's nothing tedious or devious about what's going on. None of those ladies had anything on their agenda other than one of our dear sweet girls needs help, and we're here to help her. We're also going to teach her while she's here, and I absolutely love and adore the fact that they did that. They also taught me something else. They placed into my heart some very ancient wisdom. Whether they knew it or not, that's the key to the question. They've all since passed, so I can't go ask them. Except for two. Two are still around, but they would just smirk and wink. They wouldn't say it out loud. I know them. They're very sweet. Basically, that particular day, they also were sharing with me heart's wisdom and how the human heart has become smaller than when the human form was first designed. It's become harder, less impenetrable. And it's about also being protective, but not in such a way that you keep everyone out. Proceed with caution. Love. Love is what it's all about. That day, those ladies created a very loving network for me. A very sweet, loving network. And they sent up a flare. I'm sure, you know, the Galactic Council and the Federation of Light all saw it of, we've got her back. We're here for her and with her. She's not alone. The individual who was of concern got that point loud and clear. And so they really taught me so very much. And I honor, treasure, and respect all of their wisdom, their knowledge, and everything they gave and brought forward that day. The wisdom that's within one's heart, the nonverbal exchanges. And it's interesting because I'm sharing this story with you now. This story was 7 or 8 years ago, and it's just now coming to the surface as to what that was that day, because it wasn't time for me to understand it until just at this moment. I've been kind of dancing around this for a few weeks, and then it was like, aha, yay! And the sun chimed, my heart radiates and says, there you go, dear girl. There you go. I want to be able to honor them and treasure them, but also pass it along to anyone who is listening, because what they passed on to me is something that needs to be passed on to someone else. It's not about locking it away in my heart and holding it a hostage, so to speak. And that's what I mean about how the human form has become hardened and locked away. It's okay to love, and it's okay to share that love and that heart's wisdom. It's really okay. Just proceed with caution. Not locked away, but not so super silly that you're hurt in unheard of manners. Allowing and accepting your heart's beautiful wisdom, and allowing it to be able to flow and express in the most incredible manner. Sometimes they're big aha moments, and sometimes they're sweet little divine treasures. All in all, it's really about what makes your heart sing. Heart sing, tuning into heart, heart's wisdom. Thank you for enjoying this beautiful, beautiful memory, story, and tidbits today. With today's incredible story, let's end this with one incredible, powerful writing journaling prompt, and that is, go ahead and close your eyes and let's come into a very quiet space. And I want you to take a deep breath in to the count of six. Ready? Breathing in. 2, 4, 6. I want you to hold it for 3. 1, 2, 3. And release it out for a count of 9. Ready? 2, 4, 6. 8, 9. I want you to open your eyes and take your writing utensil and allow it to glide across your paper in such a manner as, my dear, dear grandmother, what is it that you wish me to know that maybe I didn't understand as you were trying to teach me. What would you like me to know now, right at this very moment? And it doesn't matter if grandmother, your grandmother is living or not living. She'll speak. The energy and the vibration and the wisdom that needs to come from your heart will come right on through your beautiful writing utensil and glide onto your writing surface. Have a great time with writing and going on a beautiful, beautiful elderly crone grandmother journaling prompt. Thank you for going on this incredible journey and taking a brief moment out of your very busy day. And so on that beautiful note, much love, much light, and magical, magical blessings each and every dear heart. Mwah! Goodbye!